Blog Talk Radio.
Got Walker's Nine Ball from the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California. We have Evolve and Florida blues man Frank Roberts. Actually, I'm Prince pronouncing that. Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, we are having some major difficulties here, and we're going to try to get past these as best we possibly can. So I just want to let you know that you are listening to the David Bowers Awards show this afternoon, and we've gotten off to an incredibly rotten start here, but then again, this is live radio. So if you want to wait just a second, I'm going to get Dave over here right now, and hopefully he'll be coming over here. Here is the David Bowers. You're going to pardon the noise here, but I'm going to pass my headphones over to him.
Hello, here we are, and we sure as heck have no idea what's going on here. This is as John Bon Jovial said, we're not very jovial today because it's a major mess up. I have no idea what's going on. All I know is we've got a show to get going, and we're going to run with it now that it appears that we are, in fact, live. And I'm hearing myself by tape delay, so this is going to be
muted.
This should be a riot, folks. Anyway, we do have a great show today, if we can get it all in. And want to thank our house band, Titty Bingo, for our introduction music. Be sure and check out the rock and roll at Titty Bingo, including their latest album, Live at Pedernales. Some great Texas rock and roll. I may turn these headphones off because it's totally distracting hearing myself on delay. But we want to get right to our guests. And, of course, the premise of the show is an award show. Simply because there are so many award shows, we decided that this show would be every show's an award show. And there's no silly nominating committees, no voting panels, none of that crap. If you've got somebody you think deserves an award or something, either for being incredibly great or incredibly dumb, feel free to send an email to me at david@thedavidbowers.com and put awards in the subject line and tell us who you think should receive a David Bowers Award and why. And who knows, maybe we'll use it on the show. Remember, our guests and you, the listeners, get to pick who gets an award. It's as simple as that. And for our first award, I want to get right to it and make an award right now because I watched the ACM Awards this week, and I couldn't help but thinking that I was watching the MTV Awards or something. Of course, there was no twerking Miley or anything, but I closed my eyes, and really at times I couldn't tell that I was listening to a country award show. And apparently I'm not the only one. I had several other people tell me that. I won't mention any names, but one country artist that I know told me that, in his words, you know, if I wanted to hear rap music or hip-hop, or if that's what I liked, I'd buy the CDs or listen to the radio stations. Why do I have to hear it on country music? Most of what's on country music stations now doesn't even sound like country. And I got to agree. One act sounded almost metal. Some others were about as country as The Cult, who, by the way, are coming to the David Bowers Awards show later this year. As a matter of fact, Lady Antebellum doing Rihanna with Stevie Nicks sounded almost more country than some of the other stuff that was on there. And you don't have to do that to make it in country. One artist alone has recorded 30 years with at least one top 10 hit every year. Even the ACM has named him Country Entertainer of the Year twice, including this year, as well as Artist of the Decade. He's been inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Just for starters, that, of course, is George Strait. Proof that you don't have to sell out to be a country star and sell country music. And there, of course, are many others. So Why do these artists feel they have to play rock music and call it country to make it? Ask George Strait. You don't have to do that. Watching and listening to the ACMs, I decided I'd give a David Bowers Award to these wannabe country stars and also to the ACM, which must stand for Almost Country Music. Remember, if you've got someone or something you think deserves an award, email David at thedavidbowers.com, put awards in the subject line, and tell us about it.
David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Is that John Bon Jovial?
That is John Bon Jovial. I finally made it in. We had an incredible cluster F of a time trying to get this thing on the road today. I'm not exactly certain what happened. Both our engineer Nick and myself were trying to troubleshoot the problems with this, and it looks like we're going to have a bit of a discussion with the engineers at Blog Talk Radio, because even following their procedures, nothing seemed to work right.
Okay, John Bon Jovial?
Yes, sir.
I guess, according to Nick, our engineer, it is working okay, although I am getting incredibly about four echoes of you in my headset, so it's terribly distracting, but I want you to know we can hear you, and Nick says it's coming over the broadcast okay, so we're going to push
excellent.
On with that. I also want to take just a second before we move on with the show. I have a special birthday award. I want to have a birthday greeting sent out to my number two daughter, Davina, in Glendora, California, on her 43rd birthday today. Happy birthday, Davina. Dad loves you.
And, you know, I can remember when Davina was just an infant. I mean, I can't believe she's 43 years old now. I remember holding her. And, she's turned out to be quite the lovely young lady.
It is pretty scary, isn't it?
No.
43 years. She was my Army brat. I remember I was in the Army as an instructor at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, which at that time was the engineer school, and I was doing production and producing videotapes, training tapes for the Corps of Engineers when we had Davina, and the Army did not pay for the entire delivery. I had to pay $5 out of pocket for Davina. So, the good old days. Anyway, happy birthday, Davina. We all love you. And congratulations from the David Bowers Show. The David Bowers Award for that goes to our friend David Martinez and his marketing group, Lady Lake Music of Fort Myers, Florida. And John Bon Jovial, you remember Dave Martinez. He's been on the show.
Oh, sure, yeah. Dave's been on with us before. He's a hell of a guy, really good guy.
Well,
we're happy for him.
David just broke into the Hot 100 worldwide on the indie charts. He's number one in Corpus Christi, no big surprise. That's his hometown, and he is a fixture there. He's number 52 on the U.S. alternative charts, and on the world charts, he broke in at number 94. Congratulations, David Martinez. You rock. We always knew you were a world-class artist.
And absolutely. And, David, we sure hope you kick ass with this album, because we've heard it. It's excellent. We're happy for you. We want nothing but the most of success for you. David, I want to touch on your rant a few minutes ago about the ACMs and congratulate you on, you know, having the proverbial balls, if you will, to step forward on that, because, you know, I didn't watch the whole show, but I did tune in at bits and pieces here, and like you, I was wondering if I was watching something from MTV. I think the greats like George Jones and Johnny Cash would be rolling over in their graves if they saw the state of some of the country music that is out there today. It's kind of a travesty, and, you know, they really need to get back to their roots.
I agree, as you can probably tell, and that's why I took it upon myself to voice my rant and my opinion, especially since I heard from other artists, other country artists, who more or less had a similar opinion, although maybe not as heated as I get, because I do. You know, anybody that knows me knows that I love artists who can successfully cross genres. I think that is tremendous when you can, you know, go beyond it, think outside the box, as they say. But on the other hand, don't prostitute the music by calling something it's not. I mean, you know, don't go out and play jazz and call it light pop. You know, don't go out and play rock and say it's country just to sell records. I mean, to me, that is just totally wrong. It's not what it's all about. You know, if you're going to represent a genre, then represent the genre and be true to it. But enough said. We're not going to carry on. We've got a lot of other stuff going on today. And first off today, we have a band from upstate New York.
Yes, called, we do.
Called Nine Ball. I know these guys personally. Joe Sweet is a personal friend of mine. I did a show with him online, about 4 years ago, I guess it was, from the Utica Music and Arts Festival. It's where I met Joe and several other people, a lot of bands. We had some great times up there. And Joe and his band Nine Ball have a new CD out. We're going to play a track from it right now, and then we're going to bring on Dallas Shepard, who's going to talk to us because Joe Sweet is having a voice problem. He lost his voice, so he's not up to it today. Dallas Shepard, the guitarist from Nine Ball, will be joining us right after we listen to Cloud.
All of my dreams lie in my head.
Thank you.
And that, my friends, was Cloud by Nine Ball. And John Bon Jovial, do we have Dallas on the line?
I do believe that we do have Dallas on the line. Let me just get to him right here.
I don't see a 315 number on the switchboard.
I don't see a 315 number on the switchboard. No, sir, I do not. Well, I think this is where we wing it.
Well, I'll tell you what. While we're trying to see where Dallas Shepherd of Nine Ball is, maybe you can check on that, John, and I'll check.
Do that. I'm going to go ahead and screen a couple of these calls. So you go
I was going to go ahead and do that while you were checking on Dallas, one way or the other.
Okay. Yeah, you go ahead. I'll be right there.
All right. I'll go ahead and check these phone calls. And let's see, who do we have on this line here, please? Hello. Is there anybody here? There's nobody talking to me on this line, so I'm going to disconnect this one, and we'll move on to door number two. Let's see who is on this line. Hello, door number two.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to whoever this is, yes.
This is Lucy.
This is Lucy from Evelove.
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm lucky door number two.
Fantastic, and I'm lucky that I picked the right door. Let's see, we don't have Dallas online yet, so I think what we're going to do, rather than hold up and kill time and wing it and everything, since we have Lucy on the line right now, let's move on. We can get Dallas on the line later, and we'll go back and talk about Nine Ball from Utica, New York, and their new CD. Let's go on, Lucy, since you're here, how do you feel about running with it now?
Let's run with it. I enjoyed listening to their song.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure they appreciate that. We've got another song by them that we'll be playing a little later called Set Me Free. Meanwhile, let's go ahead and give the folks a taste of Evelove and Burn It Down. Anything you'd like to tell us about this song before we play it?
This is going to be the next single that we release. It's from our upcoming album that we're looking to release around June. The album's called We Are the Warriors, and it was produced by Mikey Doling. And we're very proud of it, so let's listen.
Let's listen, and in a little bit after we talk with Lucy, we're going to play the title track from the new CD, Warriors. But right now, this is Burn It All Down. And that was Burn It All Down, Lucy.
Hey.
Fantastic. That's a great cut.
Thank you very much.
And I understand that we have a, before we get into talking to you about the music and the new CD and everything, I understand that we have a little bit of a reunion that you and our engineer Nick are actually know each other and have come into contact in the past. Oh, you know
we
their
having
producer.
A reunion?
Yeah, a little bit. Nick, why don't you join us on here and say hello. Our producer, Nick Rogers, apparently knows your producer, and he recognized the name when you mentioned it. And Nick has just recently joined us over the last few months, so I want to get him. He's never been on the show. We are making arrangements because he does some good music, and we want to get him on the show. But first, we've been using him as an engineer here and taking care of technical stuff for us. Nick, are you with us?
I am, David.
Hello and welcome aboard. Say hello to Lucy.
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
Hey, now, how are you?
Quite well.
Now, I understand you know her producer. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've known Mikey for a little while. Mikey Doling had the opportunity to tour with Snot, actually, in 2008.
Oh, very cool.
We did a two-week tour with Devil Driver and Straight Line Stitch. I was the lead singer for Rosengard, was the opening act on that tour.
Oh, very cool. Then you know Snot's kind of got a reunion going. They just reformed and they're out again.
Yes, I do. I give them all the love in the world. They're great friends of mine.
Well, very cool. Well, yeah, I mean, Mikey's a really cool guy, and very, very big talent. He knows so many people. And
definitely one of the nicest people I've ever met, for sure. And a hell of a producer.
Yes. Very enthusiastic, which was really awesome to work with.
And that's so important in this business. You gotta believe in what you're doing and have enthusiasm for it if you're going to do anything at all worthwhile.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, great. I think that fantastic to find out what a small world. I had I first talked with Lucy and her band, about 4 years ago when you were in the running for that credit card company competition to be their new band. You were one of the finalists.
It's like a lifetime ago, yes.
Did that work for you guys? Did you guys actually get some notice out of the whole competition thing?
I mean, it was a really awesome experience. The band, from all the different money that we earned just from the process of recording the commercial and the performance of it all, it helped fund our last EP, which is called Breaking Heartstrings. We couldn't have done that if we had not been a part of the commercial. So on the financial aspect, it helped us out tremendously. We got to be on MTV News, which was amazing. I don't even know if MTV News still exists. Do they exist? I don't know.
They have an MTV News, but I'm not sure what they do as far as
exactly.
Online or on the air. Heck, I'm an antique. I remember when MTV used to play music.
I know. It's a sad day. But, I mean, overall, it did a lot for us on that. It helped us make a record. It helped us tour. So, I mean, did it help us in the sense that make us huge overnight sensations because everyone saw us in that free credit score commercial? No. But, you know, on the roundabout, it helped us out tremendously.
Well, that's good. That's the important thing, that you were able to take an opportunity and make it work for you, even if you didn't become overnight sensations.
Exactly.
So what have you and the band been doing now? I know you've got you had the one CD and you have a new one coming out. We're going to play the title track off of that in just a few minutes. But what are you guys doing as far as appearance, touring, and shows and things?
You know, we're actually currently putting the whole game plan together. We had been so busy touring and all that we took a little break from it, and we wrote and recorded this record that we're preparing to put out. And, you know, honestly, the game has changed so much that at the moment we've just been putting together our plan of attack. You know, going out and touring is a very big financial burden, not to use the word burden, but it, I mean,
No, we understand. Believe me, anybody familiar with it knows what you're talking about.
You know, you're not talking small money to get out there. So for us to be able to do it again, we need to put together our resources. We're trying to come up with new plans that think outside the box. We've kind of taken our time on releasing this record for that reason. I didn't want to just put it out into an abyss and then, you know, do what small touring we can afford to do right now. We're really trying to make a bigger plan. So I know that's very vague, but we'll be making announcements pretty soon. Anybody who follows us on Facebook or, you know, join us. We just started a brand new newsletter that people can join by going to our website at everlovetheband.com, and you will get a free download of Warriors for joining our newsletter. And we'll be making announcements soon, you know. We did recently just play the show. We actually opened up for Snot down at the Troubadour. It was our first show back in about a year and a half, and it was amazing to play the Troubadour and with some amazing bands. And we have, you know, big things in the future.
Well, first off, let me ask you before we go any further. I remember the Troubadour from when I was in that land that I miss so much called Southern California. How is the Troubadour now? I haven't. Well, it's been more years than I care to count. I haven't been to the Troubadour since the early '90s, I think. How is it doing? Is it still a kick-ass club? Why do I have a phone?
Someone's calling me now.
Somebody's calling somebody. You're calling in on the air is what you're doing. I don't know who you're calling, but...
Hello?
Okay, it's gone now?
Oh, okay. Well, you're live online, whatever you're doing. I have a 315 number. Okay, that must be Dallas. That's off. Okay. Yeah, actually, John Bon Jovial was trying to make an outbound call, and something has been really strange with this function today because it's been doing all kinds of weird stuff that's not supposed to obviously go out over the air. But anyway, I did want to ask you about the Troubadour because, like I said, that is an institution out there and has been for more years than I can remember. And like I said, I do kind of miss Southern California. So,
you know,
yes.
Go ahead. Troubadour, it's such a piece of history. You know, there's so many amazing people who have performed on that stage. So we loved it. You know, it is a historical staple of Los Angeles. So just to be able to perform in such a historic place was awesome. You know, I mean, you know, there's lots of newer and shinier clubs out there, but do they have as rich of a history? No.
Right.
So, you know, just being a part of it is, you know, it's an honor. You know, sometimes when you live in Los Angeles and you perform, you tend to get jaded about what it is that you are a part of, but I was recently reminded by my mother that I should not, I know, there's mom again, that I
absolutely
should not lose sight of that accomplishment of being able to be a part of history like this and be able to play these clubs and, you know.
Absolutely. I never got to, because I am not that type of performer, I didn't get on a lot of those stages, but I remember I took advantage of the story I've told many times. I took advantage of the opportunity when I was in Nashville years ago. I got to get into the old Ryman Auditorium when it was closed and nobody was using it, and so I took the liberty of getting up on the stage momentarily just to have that sense of history and actually be a part of it. There are a few places in the world that are like that, where if you get a chance to be there, you just have to stop for a moment and smell the roses for a moment. And I'm really happy for you. I hope you got some pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Okay, now tell us, if you would, please, about this next track we're going to play, which is the title of the CD, the title tune, Warriors.
Warriors, we like to think of it as a modern-day anthem for today's generation. For the making of a lyric video for this, we called upon all of our fans to submit photos of themselves, you know, we feel that every one of us, you know, we're all fighting our own battles. We're all warriors in our own sense. So we asked people to send in photos that reflected their inner warrior. And, you know, I expected to get some great submissions, but we were just overwhelmed by the creativity, the honesty, just people really, you know, showing heart. And the final closing photo, there was a preemie baby that was born, and we were sent a submission, and you can see the photo when you watch the video. Her name is Grayson, and, you know, someone took the photo and put a little warrior sign next to her, and, you know, we all were rooting for her, and unfortunately, before the finishing of the video, she did pass away.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, it's heartbreaking, but we were able to dedicate the song and the video to her and her family and give them just a little piece of history of something that in her little tiny short life that she was a part of. So it really meant a lot to us and a lot to them. And, you know, it wasn't just a thoughtless lyric video we put together. There's a lot of heart put into it. So you can also see that on YouTube. You can go to our website, make it easy, and just, you know, navigate, find the video. But it really meant a lot to us. We'd been away from the scene for quite a while creating this album. And to be able to come back with such a meaningful lyric video, it really is special to us.
Fantastic. And it is a touching video. It's a wonderful song. I think you're going to do big things with this. And before we get to it, one more question here. Where can people go to get your CD?
You know, you can find us on iTunes. We do still sell some hard copies through CD Baby, but you can find our entire catalog on iTunes. Just look up Evolove, which is EVOLOVE.
And, I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to spell it for them. It's it's one of those, I lost the word, but it's one of those words. That's palindrome, exactly. Same way spelled forwards or backwards, Evolove.
Well, in the end of it all, it's all about love, isn't it? So that's
it
what
is that.
It is all about love. So that's what our name is a reflection of. So people can go to iTunes and they can pick up our entire catalog right there. We have two EPs we put out. We put out an acoustic record, and then you can get if you sign up, you can get the single for free of Warriors. Or you can support us and purchase it for 99 cents.
Very good.
And pretty soon they'll be able to get the new record as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us today and putting up with our technological problems at the same time.
Of course. Thank
so
you
good
for
to talk
me.
To you again. Best to you and the band. And we look forward to hearing a lot more about this. You keep in touch and let us know what's going on. We'd be glad to have you back again.
You got it. Take care.
Great. Thank you, Lucy. You take care,
bye-bye.
Too. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Evolove and Warriors. That's a track that I think is going to get a lot of airplay. What do you think, John Bon Jovi?
Yeah, that's a pretty song. I really like that. I think she's going to do quite well with it.
Yeah, and I think they nailed the concept not only in the lyric, but also in the anthemic approach. It is a very, very much an anthem-type song. I think they did a real good job on it. And I'm glad that they were able to come join us and share with us. We're playing a little game because of some technical difficulties. We're playing a little variation of the old shell game. Which shell is the pea under? Well, right now, we found that we've got Dallas Shepherd of Nine Ball back with us. We played one of their songs a little bit earlier. We're going to play Set Me Free in a few minutes here. But first, let's bring the man on and talk to Dallas Shepherd of Nine Ball.
How's everybody doing?
Yeah, we're doing fine now that we got everything working. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
Great. It's a nice day here in New York. So.
Yeah, and you could use some of them. You've had some pretty nasty weather the last few months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's always cloudy, and it's good to see the sun once in a while.
Now, this is the first time I've gotten a chance to talk to you. I've talked with Joe several times in the past. Tell us about Nine Ball.
Nine Ball was formed in 1993. And
wow, you guys have been around for a long time.
I'm actually the baby of the band. I was 12 when the band first started.
Oh, my gosh.
They did. I think they had a 3-song album back then, and then they took like a 15-year hiatus. And then I actually moved back to New York from Los Angeles, and they were ready to do a reunion show. They asked me if I wanted to do it, and that was 4 years ago, and we're on our second album now. So far, so good.
Fantastic. Yeah, I worked with Joe back at the Utica Music and Arts Festival. I'm thinking it was 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not exactly sure what year it was, but that's where I first ran into Joe, and I did a broadcast from there. We talked to several of the acts that were on the show, including Joe, and he was, of course, coordinating everything. So he was running around like the proverbial chicken with his head cut off.
I was just going to say,
Dallas, you know, you weren't on the line earlier when we played it, but we did play your song Cloud, which is a nice rocker. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what was behind its evolution and how it came to be what it is now?
That song was actually a riff that I just brought in, and then it just happened. I mean, it wasn't overthought. It just, we played it, and it was kind of self-evolving, I guess.
You guys are playing all over upstate New York. Any plans to go out on a more broader tour, regional or national?
If someone wants to offer one, we'll take it. I paint for a living, and I do my music on the side, so
right,
I'd much rather travel than...
I can understand that.
Rather play music than paint a house, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm actually
any day of the week. I understand that completely.
Yeah, sounds like a good song title there.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd rather play music than paint a house.
Yeah. That might be the next album.
There you go. Speaking of next, tell us about Set Me Free, which is going to be our next track we're going to play here.
Set Me Free was actually written in the studio. We had a couple ideas, and then pretty much we rolled tape and then went through it, and that's how it felt, believe it or not.
Well,
I wish I could say more about it, but there really isn't much to say about that one.
Well, as far as putting the song together, what were the what was your personal involvement in having that song end up as it is in its current form?
I was messing around with the main lick, the verse part, the intro there.
Uh-huh.
At practice, and then Scott, our bass player, he started filling in, and then we were one song short for the CD, so in the studio we were either going to do a cover, which some of us really didn't want to do, before, we were going to try that one. So
now, when you say you were going to do it, I was going to say when you say you were going to do a cover, are you talking about a cover of another song called "Set Me Free" or the original composition here?
Well, we were actually thinking about doing Prince's "Purple Rain."
Okay.
So,
all right.
So instead of doing that, we kind of opted to do our own thing. So.
Well, you know, original music is always great, you know, and some bands do some, you know, ridiculously good covers of, you know, of other people's music. I think, you know, the band that comes to mind to me is the Grateful Dead, and the way they do covers of Marty Robbins' old songs, El Paso and Running Gun and things like that. I mean, it's phenomenal. And there's no reason why any other band can't do that as well.
And I've got a...
not against it, just chose not to, I guess.
Yeah.
I've got a contact up in the capital area, Dan Cohen of Tier 1 Talent, who is also the lead for Sludge Factory, which is the Authorized Alice in Chains cover band. And they're making a lot of noise. There's somebody's doing something in the background that's making a lot of noise. But anyway, Dan Kohler of Tier 1 Talent's the front for Sludge Factory, Alice in Chains cover band, which does a tremendous job and perform with some other great cover bands around the Northeast, too. So, yeah, I know what you mean about cover songs, but it's always good to do original material so that, you know, people have an idea of what you do if you're going that way, unless you're going to be a 100% cover band. What are your what are the band's plans for the immediate future?
Well, the CD came out at the end of March. So at this point, I'm trying to really just market it, you know. At the moment, we're looking around for new online distribution. But if people do want to buy it now, they can get it at bandcamp.com. It's just nineball.bandcamp.com.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that because I found there is another band floating around somewhere that's utilizing the Nine Ball name, too, and we want to make it perfectly clear. I know, like, on Reverb Nation, you are Nine Ball Utica, I believe.
It's that or Nine Ball Rocks. I know it's goofy that I don't.
Yeah, I think on Reverb Nation, I think it's a Nine Ball Utica.
Okay.
Which is, for folks not familiar with upstate New York, that's U-T-I-C-A. So this is the band from upstate New York, Utica, New York. They're called Nine Ball. This is Dallas Shepard, who was kind of thrown in at the last minute because Joe Sweet, who was going to be here, was unable to. So, Dallas, you got elected and did a very fine job. It's a pleasure talking to you.
We thank you.
We thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And we encourage everyone to check out Nine Ball, their music. And we're going to help you do a little bit of the marketing right now because we're going to play a tune called Set Me Free. Nine Ball. Woo! Man, I tell you what, these guys can kick up the jams. Great band from the Utica area, upstate New York, and the name of that song that we just heard was Set Me Free. David, can you hear me? Okay, well, you know, we have lost David Bowers. Of course, David Bowers always gets lost regardless, but we've lost him. Our journey of technical difficulties continues this afternoon, and Nick is working with David right now to try to get him back on here and so we can continue our David Bowers Awards Experience Extravaganza live here from beautiful Naples, Florida. But while we're waiting on that, we're going to pay a couple of bills here, and we want to let you know about one of the companies that makes this
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you'll...
Well, that was that was a lot of fun. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but we want to pay a bill here. The people that make this show possible, the facilities that we use, those are the good folks at Computer Help USA in Naples, Florida. Computer Help is a company that can do just about anything that when it comes to computers, whether it's virus removal, custom building of a new machine, refurbishing old machines, trying to revitalize your network, working with your domain if you're having problems, or even creating a new domain so you can protect your data against outside abuses and also internal company employee abuses. And Computer Help USA can help you do just exactly that. Computer Help USA is an Apple-certified company. They are also Microsoft-certified and can help you with just about anything that you need when it comes to Internet-related items or when it comes to the affairs of the computer heart and its repair. That's Computer Help USA. They are located in Naples, Florida. The website is www.comphelpusa.com. That's comphelpusa.com. Or you can call them directly at area code 239-596-6112. Again, that phone number is 239-596-6112 for Computer Help USA. Now, do I have my partner in crime back with me yet? No, I do not have my partner in crime back with me yet. Not quite sure what happened to the dear boy, but we're going to get him. David, I think you probably ought to just come walk on over here to my side of the studio because I am live right now, and we're going to go ahead and continue, and we've got a couple of phone callers waiting to get on with us.
I think one of those callers
is
me.
Oh, there you are. You just came back. All right. There
yeah,
you
the
are.
Other, the other line went dead for some reason, so we're doing it the old-fashioned way here, and I just got on the phone and decided to call in like a guest. So we'll keep it going one way or another.
Okay. Well, David, I just paid a bill for us, and I believe that we have an Area 615 number on the line waiting for us right now.
I believe that should be our Rockstar 101 guest,
Anthony,
and if you'll check that out, I will introduce him.
Yes. Okay. Well. Okay. That's in this is 615 and da da da.
You go ahead and you go ahead and check that out. And
okay.
I will tell our listeners that our Rockstar 101 guest this week is going to be talking about house concerts, a relatively new concept that a lot of local and regional bands especially are using as a means to get out and not so much make a lot of money, but make a lot of friends, build an audience. And this is so important to build a following if you're going to go anywhere in this business. You're going to need those people. And our guest today is a professional in that respect. Not only has he had his own hit record, Bringing Back the Sunshine from a few years ago, he has written songs for many artists, including Run and Cowboys Like Us by George Strait, and I'm Tryin' and Chrome for Trace Adkins, Didn't I, and What Do You Think About That by Montgomery Gentry. I could go on and on. There's a long list, including Confederate Railroad, Rascal Flatts, Kris Kristofferson, Tim McGraw. You know, how many names do you need? He's definitely knows what he's doing. He also does
a lot of producing and is working with several upcoming artists. We hope to be able to prevail upon him and maybe get some of his artists he's working with on the show with us. He had his own record label, Crank It Records. And he says, remember when we were kids in church back in the 80s? And when we preachers told us, and believe me, for those of you who have been around a little longer, they were saying that in the 70s and the 60s, too. He said, remember when they said rock bands worshiped Satan, and if you play their records backwards, they had satanic messages. He says, don't get me wrong, I love church and all, but it's just funny looking back now. It's hard to believe, he says. I actually believe that crap, especially when I have since met most of those so-called evil rock stars and frequently worked with many of them. And yes, truth indeed is stranger than fiction. So we're going to be bringing on the Sunshine Guy himself.
I'm bringing back the sunshine. Bringing back the sunshine. Baby, it's about time. Ooh, whoa, whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Mr. Anthony Smith. Welcome aboard, Anthony.
Hey, David. How you doing?
Doing just fine. How are you doing today?
Oh, the weather's great here in Nashville, and I'm enjoying it.
Fantastic. You have a busy day today, or are you just kind of kicking back enjoying the sunshine?
I'm just enjoying the sunshine today.
Fantastic. You've got an interesting topic picked out. It's one that we haven't discussed on here before, and I think the timing is right. We should discuss it. Tell us about house concerts.
Well, house concerts is they've went on for a long time, but they've become kind of a growing phenomenon in the sense that they're really popular. People actually will turn their house into a they'll put a microphone in there and a little PA system and they'll just invite people, and it becomes like a almost like a regular venue, and it's really cool because it's such an intimate setting that the audience gets to hear songwriters and artists as well perform, you know, and it's just a whole lot closer. You got people sitting around on couches or chairs, however they have it set up, and it's just really fun. It's just a lot of songwriters are doing that. There's a songwriter house concert, just a series of those, and people actually go on tour doing the whole tour of those things.
Well, how does an artist go about setting up a obviously you'd want to set up a string of them if possible. How does an artist go about setting those things up?
Well, I mean, it depends on how far you're willing to travel. They're everywhere, and you know how you book those and what order makes it easier to travel to the closest, from one town to the closest town. So you want to route it just right if you intend on doing a lot of them. But there's you can go on to just Google search house concerts, and you'll have a whole list of different places that kind of book for you, and it'll have even some of the homes, people who just have like a monthly show at their house, and it's really great because, people sometimes they don't want to drive, and pay big tickets to go see an artist, $50 on up to see a concert. You're crowded, a bunch of people, and sometimes your seats can be, really far away and you can't really see the artist good. And this is just right up close. And it's not only that, you really get to engage with the artist and you talk to them. And it's just like, it's almost like having a reunion or a Thanksgiving,
yeah, much more intimate and like the ABC Sports thing, up close and personal.
Absolutely, it's wonderful. You get to ask them questions and they tell you stories, and you just don't get that at a regular concert. And oftentimes the artist or songwriter will play the hits that they've had, and then they'll tell stories about how they come up with the song and what was involved, and it's really fascinating,
I believe it. Now this, I'm going to ask you this question, and it's probably difficult to answer, but to give upcoming artists an idea, a ballpark, something to think about, what kind of pricing would they be looking at for something like this?
Well, it depends on the artist. Now, some houses have a set fee that they charge every month, and that's just kind of the thing. And however much they charge for tickets, and that's completely up to the owners of the house who is putting on the event. But you know, generally a bigger name songwriter or artist will, the ticket price may raise, and the homeowner is the one responsible for getting the word out, and most of them have a big email list of their friends and acquaintances that they send out to advertise, and they'll put out flyers of the pictures and bios of the artist and everything like that. So the money varies from artist to artist, and the attendance. Sometimes guaranteed monies is you can just, if the artist asks for a certain amount, then they'll either be able to work it or they won't, and it's kind of, it goes kind of a hit and miss type thing. And but for new artists, writing, it's just a good chance to basically showcase your song and see what kind of reaction you get and stuff like that. And so it's a pretty good thing, and you can, if you stay busy enough at it, you can do pretty well.
Okay, so then in effect, the homeowner is the promoter, and you work with the promoter as far as how much you're actually going to get out of the show financially.
Yeah, and that, the homeowner is pretty much in charge of it. However, lots of times like if it's an agency that books those shows, they are in communications with the homeowner. And so the people who are booking it as well help to facilitate, all the advertisement and stuff like that. So it's they usually have a pretty good crowd when you go.
No, that's very interesting, and I didn't realize that there were already networks out there that were putting these shows together.
Yeah, it's a really a big deal. I mean, there's a whole lot of Nashville hit songwriters that are doing it, and a lot of in the folk world too. There's a lot of folk music out there, and I think even bluegrass and stuff like that, and pop artists. And I'm more familiar with the country acts that are doing it right now, and it's a real fast growing thing, and it gets more popular every day.
Well, that's really, really interesting. I knew about the concept of the house concerts, but I didn't know it had grown already to the point where there were actually circuits and agents that were coordinating these things. I have a phone ringing in my ear. I don't know if anybody else can hear it or not. This has been a crazy day here. We've had some major technical problems that I don't even understand what's going on. I'm going to have to get with the folks at Blog Talk Radio. That phone call is going through on the air, whoever it is, and that's one of the problems we've had there. We've had audio problems, and my line just cut out as you were getting ready to come on, so I had to take it off and call in on the old phone line routine. So it's been a strange day for us, Anthony. Now tell us, what are you doing personally as a in whatever area you're working now, as a performing artist or as a producer or what?
Well, this year I've just decided to, I'm doing quite a few shows. I do house concerts every now and then, but mainly just regular shows that I get called to do. I've really focused this year on writing a lot. I had kind of slacked in the last couple of years because I was so busy producing and all that kind of stuff. So it was this year I really wanted to get right back in it, get back on the radio with some songs, and it's going really good. I'm really enjoying it,
Well, so then I just picked up on what you said, that you are yourself actually participating in the house concert contest.
Yeah, I do it every once in a while, and it is a fun outlet for you, you know, to get out and see the folks in a different way, and it's just really fun. It's almost like family, you know.
Oh, fantastic, and that's even more important from my standpoint of having you on as a guest in talking about it, is the fact that you are actually experienced in doing it yourself, and that's always, you know, it's always great to hear it from the horse's mouth. It's one thing to hear it from a professional, and we're fortunate that we've had several people like yourself that are professionals in the industry, in the business, come on and talk about various subjects, and to have you actually experienced in doing it for yourself as well as for other artists is an extra added plus. That's good to know. And I wanted to ask you now, I know you work with several upcoming artists, and I told our listeners, I don't know if you were able to hear in the green room when you were waiting for us there, but I don't know if you were able to hear or not, but I told our listeners we're going to try to prevail on you maybe to get some of your artists to come in and pop in on the show and play their music for us.
Well, one of the acts that I was producing for a while, and I just kind of had to, because of my writing schedule, because producing is really time-consuming. It's you're behind the console and in the mix process and the tracking process and the song finding process, and it's time-consuming. And so if you're really trying to write, you pretty much have to focus on that a lot and keep in that mind frame, because it's you kind of have to be in the zone. When you start writing, oftentimes when people talk about writer's block and stuff like that, it's generally because you take a little time out to get out of the zone, and it's hard to get back into that, to where when I say the zone, that's kind of where you're constantly thinking 24/7 about songs and song ideas, and you'll watch a movie and something will pop off the screen as an idea for a song, to where normally you're not thinking along those lines. And so it just makes you more productive and, more broad in your creativity. So it's fun. I've been working with Lucy Angel, who's an act that's been around for probably about 10 years, and they've been in Nashville most of that time and never shot the deal. They just was playing out shows and recording some stuff. But they finally went to a record label, and I had made a few phone calls and got talked to one label particularly and sent them over there, and they signed them on the spot, and we're making an amazing record. It's just so good, and I'm not producing them, but Noah Gordon is producing them, and I got a good feeling about it. I think they're going to have a single out this summer and a whole other bunch of stuff like that, so we'll see. Let's look out for Lucy Angel.
Fantastic. We'll do that.
Yes, two daughters and a mother, and they've got this family harmony that's just ridiculously good.
Oh, fantastic. Lucy Angel. We'll have to be watching and listening for that. And again, an open invitation. Our door to the studio is always open for you, Anthony. You know that. And if you get a hold of somebody that you'd like to have come on the show, introduce their music, we'd be more than happy to hear from you. You've got my email. You've got my phone. Give me a call anytime. And love to get together with you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Anthony. Anthony Smith, for being with us today on Rockstar 101 and telling us a little bit about what you got to do to become a rock star. We thank you so much, Anthony, and we'll look forward to you coming back in the future and joining us once again. Thank you. Moving right along, before we bring on our next guest in just a moment, I want to take a second to tell you, well, actually several seconds, to announce we are adding a new little feature. It doesn't even have a name, but it is a feature where we are inviting indie artists, whether you're an individual singer, a band, a musician, whatever, indie artists, whatever type of music you play, if you would like to be considered to be on the show, it's really very simple, and we've tried to keep it as simple as possible. Basically, it comes down to this. Write down our email, which is david@thedavidbowers.com. send us your EPK. If you don't have an EPK, consider having one made in the near future, because if you're going to make it in this business, you're going to need one sooner or later. And if you don't know what an EPK is, it's called an electronic it's an electronic press kit. And you will need one sooner or later, but you don't need one to get on the show. If you don't have an EPK yet, send us your picture, a current bio, and one or two tracks of your music. Send us your best music. Send it to that email address, david@thedavidbowers.com. My staff of experts will listen to it, and we will select from that who we'd like to have on the show. That's the easiest, simplest way. We do not take the, you know, the blind leads where you get on a social media site and say, hey, listen to my music, I want to be on your show. We can't do it that way. It's just too overwhelming, and it's totally impersonal. We have no way of checking you, know anything about you. So here's how you do it. You send an EPK or a picture, a current bio, and a couple of tracks to david@thedavidbowers.com. We'll listen to them, and if we like what we hear, we'll be in touch with you and set up an experience for you to get on the show. We have already introduced this. I did play favorites. I'm from upstate New York myself, from the Utica-Rome area, and we did announce this in Rome, New York. So we have already some applicants from the Rome, New York area. They will be our first choices to come on the show. And as other artists apply, we will have them on the show too. So here's your chance to be heard worldwide, because we're being heard all over the world. And we'd like to help spread your music. Send us your EPKs. We'll give you a listen, and in the very near future, perhaps, I can't promise for sure, but perhaps next month, we will have someone from this process from Rome, New York, on the show. We'll find out. Watch for us. You can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio at The David Bowers, or on Facebook, The David Bowers Awards, or on Twitter at The David Bowers. Follow us there and stay up on all of the events, the upcoming artists, and our upcoming shows. You'll get all the information first by following us at those three places. Right now, I understand we are ready for our next guest, and he is a man who has been doing the blues and riding the iron road and making some great sounds for quite a while, and we are proud and pleased to have him on the show today. Mr. Frank Robert from the Tampa, Florida area will be debuting his new album. The new CD is called Ride the Iron Road, and here is the title tune, Frank Robert and Ride the Iron Road.
Gonna leave the farm and gonna ride the iron road. I leave the farm, child, I'm gonna ride the iron road. And your heavy load. Can't buy a ticket now. Lord, I got a ride in the blind. Can't buy a ticket now. Lord, I got a ride in the blind. Cause your love, baby, Lord, Lord's gonna make me lose my mind. Ride the turmoil now, gonna take along the peavine rail. Gonna ride the turmoil now, take along the peavine rail. And if they ever catch me now, they're gonna put me in the jail. Gonna rail. Gonna ride it so wild now, ride along the Peabody rail. And if they ever catch me now, well, they're gonna put me in a jail. Catch me. Ain't no railroad ball now. Lord, he ain't gonna catch me. But that conductor now, Lord, he'll hang me up from a tree.
Well, a little bit of picking and grinning there. Great music. That is Frank Robert from his new album, Ride the Iron Road, and that is the title song. And we're going to get Frank on here. And, David, are you with us?
I am with us,
okay,
and hopefully Frank is too.
Yes, I is.
Frank, welcome aboard. Good talking to you again. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How you doing, David?
Well, we've had a rather hectic day mixed with all kinds of technical problems and glitches, and I don't know what's been going wrong, but we just decided we're going to play through and continue on no matter what. The show must go on.
I don't know if anyone's in the seventh house today, but it's been a complete cluster F, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yes. I've had days like that.
Frank, a great album you've got here. I've had the privilege of listening to the entire thing, all 14 cuts. You've got some original material. You've got some standard, some old standard classics on there. Fantastic album. Tell us about it.
Well, it's kind of like a continuation from the previous Why Do I Never Win record, which was half acoustic, half electric. And I had a bunch of songs that were ready, and I didn't know what to do with them. So I said, okay, fine. I started recording them, and all of a sudden, you know, wow, you know, I got some nice, good old acoustic blues going on here. And I said, okay, fine, I'll just keep going with it, and wrote some more tunes. And some of the tunes, the standards I've been wanting to play for a long time. So I said, okay, I'll try them. And sure enough, everything kind of clicked, and I had it done in about 6 weeks or so.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How did you select the music for the album?
I just simply wrote. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. I'd sit down with my guitar, and all of a sudden the song would just pop out, and it's like, okay, and then add something else to it, and, you know, before I knew it, I had like 10 tunes written down in a matter of a week. It's like, wow. You know, when you get those little blasts like that, it's like fantastic. You just want to just go with it.
Well, I was gonna ask you that now. When you go into your writing mode, is this something that you intentionally do, or do you just kick back and let them come to you?
It's a mixed bag. Sometimes the songs will find you. Other times you got to go chase them down. You know. For example, the closer, Sunday Morning, I've been playing around with that for probably a year, year and a half, maybe longer than that. And then just one day, it just showed up in a final form that actually made sense to me and the way I liked it. And I said, okay, fine. Threw the mics up, turned on the computer, and started recording it right then and there, you know. So.
Well, I know the feeling, because when I was listening to the album for the fourth or fifth time, that was one of the selections I was thinking of for playing here today. But to be honest with you, the reason that I opted for the two tracks that we are playing, the title track is obvious because it's the title track of the album.
Yeah.
And the second track I selected simply because it's appropriate. The track we're going to be playing here in a few minutes is Tax Time Blues, which I thought was tax day 2 days away. It was the only other track that we could play. You had to play that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand that. The funny part is I got my taxes done a couple months ago. And as I was doing the taxes, that's one of those that's just something suggested itself to me. It's like, oh, man, I can't do this again. Oh, no. You know, I'm just going through it and everything. And all of a sudden, you know, it just –
it just came to me. You know, all the first couple of couplets came to me, and it's like, okay, great. And all of a sudden, I stopped doing my taxes, wrote the song out.
Isn't that un-American to do your taxes that far in advance? Aren't you supposed to wait to get pressured at the last minute?
Well, I had a refund coming, so it was very American to get it as quick as you could.
You've had an interesting history, and before we get into discussing this next track and what you're doing in the future, I'd just like to recap for our listeners. You started out, if I remember correctly, you started out way back up in Canada, didn't you?
Yeah, back in Montreal in the mid-'80s. I actually picked up guitar about 1980 or so, but I didn't really start playing in clubs a lot till about 85, 86 or so. You know, you got to learn and try to get things down, and you start learning more about the business, and, you know, you start meeting people, and that's the only way you can do that. And, you know, about 85, 86, I started playing more in clubs, and, you know, I had the good fortune of playing at a place called the Rising Sun, which, you know, it's a little club where you'd see people like Buddy Guy, Robert Cray would play there occasionally, Dutch Mason, who was the prime minister of the blues, I saw him there. I saw Albert Collins there. My ears are still suffering from that one, actually. But Albert was loud. But I mean, I had a chance to sit there and learn, you know, where it's like the guy's on stage and I'm literally 5 feet away from him, watching him intently. And they're looking at me, and it's like, oh, man, not another one of these white boys trying to learn how to play the blues. But that's how I learned. And also the Montreal Jazz Fest was going on, and it still is going on, of course. And every night I'd be down there, and I'd sit there and learn, you know, again, right there in front of people. And I got friendly with a bunch of the people back there, so I'd go back and meet the artists. One of my favorites was Seth Robinson. And,
well, that's where I was going with this, because I knew from talking to you in the past, I knew you had that background, and I thought it was important to bring out, to have you bring out the fact that you not only picked up the guitar and started playing and then started going out and playing out in public, but you mixed with you learned from the best. You got to learn from and actually mix with some of the best in the business, and I'm sure it was an incredible experience for you.
It was, and you know, it's something, you know, I truly cherish after all these years. I mean, I'm sitting around backstage in between shows with Benton Robinson's band. That's where I got introduced to Wild Turkey Liquor. we were all sitting around and we were talking about it, and you know, they're saying for me, you know, this is what the blues is about, you know, and you know, you got to play from your heart, because you know, you got to express yourself. And
yeah,
in my particular case,
yeah, go ahead.
In my particular case, my expression comes out in so many different forms, as opposed to somebody who's just locked jaw. I gotta play Chicago blues. I gotta play it like this. I gotta play it just like Buddy. No, I mix match. Let's just say my spice cupboard is quite full in terms of what I play musically.
Well, yeah, and that's the two important points, and you brought them both out. One is you learned from the best and grew from that experience, and I think that's so important for an artist to be able to get out and actually, you know, mix with, learn from, and play with the people that are already doing it. And then secondly, of course, as you pointed out, it's the feeling. You can't go out and say, well, I'm going to not only emulate, but imitate this artist, mm-hmm. especially with the blues. But in truth, with all genres of music, you got to have the feel. It's got to come from the heart. It can't be programmed.
No, it can't. And even the more difficult thing, and I've found all over these years, is that to sound like yourself after all these years, to actually find your own voice, that is the hardest thing to do of anything, you know, because I've been blessed in that, oh, say about the last 10 years or so, I finally have found something that sounds like me as opposed to somebody else. And I've had a number of people come up,
come up in comments about that. It's like, wow, you know, you don't sound like other people, you know.
Exactly.
And I take that as the highest form of, you know, of a compliment, you know. I was like, wow. You know,
well, I'll put another compliment on top of that, because you're absolutely right. That's one of the first things you notice in listening to your music. It's original. It's got the feel. You definitely have that feel. You can sense and hear the experience, and you have created. You are Frank Robert. You're not a copy of somebody else. You're Frank Robert, and what you do is good. It's really good. And I know, speaking of your own voice, I have a little voice across the room from me here who is aching to get a question in, John Bon Jovial.
A little voice? A little voice. Wow.
Hey, he's right to the heart on that one.
You're some, you know, you could be some kind of passage that I'm not going to mention on the air here.
Well, you know, the little voices in my head, too, you know.
Yeah, right? Now, Frank, what I wanted to know, you know, you mentioned about achieving and attaining your own voice, your own, you know, musical style, genre, uniqueness, you know, call it what you will. So I guess the question that I have would be, you know, and it may sound simple enough, but, you know, think about it for a second. Who or what is your muse for allowing you to be able to create this?
You know, I don't know. I think it's just simply living. You take what happens during the day, you know, whether, you know, the old lady is waking up cranky or another bill shows up or you just get the gentlest smile from somebody that you don't know at all. And you just take that and you just put it in your music. You know, I just take it from living more than anything else.
You know, I guess it's probably about anything that all that anybody can do.
Yeah, I mean, blues is life. Blues is, you know, about life. You're expressing yourself, whether it's joyful or sour, and not sorrowful, but full of sorrow. That is what it is. You just express yourself. I mean, there's plenty of examples of what we consider blues. It's, you know, very up-tempo and just having a good old time, just here to have a party, you know?
That's
part about it.
Well, you know, it has to be a party. I think it's a continuing party. Some aspects of it are pretty damn good, and others, maybe you'd like to forget. But I think that's, especially with the blues, that's, you know, you have to have the total package, a complete recipe. You can't skimp on that.
No, you can't at all.
You mentioned the Wild Turkey liquor. Man, I tell you what, that brings back some memories. I went to the University of South Florida in Tampa there a million years ago, and, man, we had some of those parties with that Wild Turkey liquor. And honest to God, I don't know how the hell I survived those.
You didn't drink enough if you remembered what you actually did.
That's it. I was going to say, I worked a club up near.
I can't remember all of it. I just remember some aspects of it.
I worked a club up near the university back in the long ago in a galaxy far away, and I know exactly what you mean, because we had a lot of our clientele was from USF. It was I'm trying to remember the name. The club doesn't exist anymore. It was something like 22nd Street Station or something like that was the name of the club up in.
There's been a bunch of those clubs that unfortunately have gone past.
Yeah, we have
the boards and so on.
We were the first club in the area that I remember that used the Sirwin Vega earthquake system for our sound system, and that was awesome.
It wouldn't have been the 49th Street Mining Company, would it?
No. I remember it was Street Station. I just don't remember which street it was. And I remember we had a train tape that we played. It was a train pulling into the station, and with that earthquake sound system, it was so tremulous that we could actually crank it and shake the pictures off the wall if we wanted to.
You're really, truly proving that it was capable of being an earthquake.
Absolutely, exactly where it got its name from. But yeah, so I remember those great students from USF up there. That was way before they had a football team, even.
That was a long time ago.
USF was just like
Anyway. Yeah, it was a swamp. Frank, do you remember the Losers Lounge up in Lutz?
No, I didn't hang out with losers.
There you go, little boy. There was a place up in Lutz. It was called the Losers Lounge, and the only purpose of going there was to just get drunk on your butt and fall over.
Oh, I can believe that. That's still quite a few places qualified for that one.
Frank, how did you manage to get from Canada to the Tampa, Florida area? How'd you wind up down here?
It's real simple. I had the unemployment blues, and my wife, a lot of her family had moved down here, and they offered us, come down here, because quite frankly, when you're dealing with 13% unemployment, you got to do something, and we weren't making it, so we just went down, moved to Florida, wife and I, and kid with another kid on the way. It was an interesting time, to say the least.
I can imagine, and I think we've all been through those tough times at one point or another. It kind of fits your groove, though. You can draw from it for material, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I have actually used it. No, I take it back. I haven't used it, that particular incident.
I went through your biography here, and I didn't notice an unemployment blues cut in any of your history.
No, that's the funny part, too, is that it's like the night after we got to Florida, and, we got settled down, kind of recovered from the road burn and everything, I looked up, I found this jam. It was a place called BB's Bar and Grill in Pinellas Park. And the Sarasota Slim, who's a local legend around here, he was hosting the jam. And I walked in there, and he's announcing it on stage. Okay, if you want to sign up for the jam, here's this piece of paper and a pen and everything. I walked right up, snapped the paper out of his hand, wrote my name in big letters right on the top, handed it back to him. So I was like, okay, I guess he wants to play. And so after he gets me up, he starts calling off songs that he thought I would not know at all. And I knew every single one of them like the back of my hand. And so I thought, oh, you really know this. So we got down to work and really got going at it. And about an hour later, okay, fine, we got to let someone else play. We had a great time. And the funny part is that there was a band looking for a guitar player that night, and they hired me on the spot. And so I was working almost from the day I got there.
Fantastic. This is a solo album for you. Are you still working with the Boxcar Tourists?
Yes, I am, actually. And, in fact, for the award, I give it to Trent Scholl, my bass player, and Jimmy Gonslow playing drums. Because we played the Fisherman's Shack from the last record, Let's Go Juke, and Fisherman's Shack is very prominent in that song. We played the Shack all weekend, and we just blew the doors off the place.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, you play a lot I'm using the Tampa Bay Area in the broadest terms because you cover a lot of the territory there and places that I'm sure my listeners don't all. I know they've never heard of Lutz before and probably haven't heard of Newport Richey, but I know you play all over the Gulf Coast area. Are you doing any touring or planning any tours through the rest of the country?
I'm looking probably to make another run up into the Carolinas probably in the fall. I've got a promoter that I've worked with before, actually a few promoters I've worked with, and I'll probably make that as a solo artist. The guys, their living situations dictate not going on the road anymore, so that's part of the reason I started doing some of the solo work is so that I could go out and go on the road some more. That's one of the things I've found out I really, truly enjoy is getting out there and meeting new people and seeing new places.
We're constantly reminded by guests that we have on when we get to talking and addressing the emerging artists, the up-and-comers, the people that are getting started in business, and we've had so many people who have stressed the importance of getting out on the road, even if you're playing for free every now and then. I mean, you're not going to make a career playing for free, obviously.
If it takes
to get out there and get on the road and meet with the people, there is absolutely no substitute for for getting up on the stage and interacting with your audience. That's the best way to learn the basic thing in your business, and that is giving the people what they want. You know, I'm constantly...
You got to get up there and lay it down.
That's it. And I'm constantly seeing these, you know, you see online, especially in the social media sites, these clever little catchphrases about support local music and everything like that. And I agree. It is important to remind people that, hey, you know, it's not all downloads and CDs and streaming concerts and everything. If you appreciate the music, get out and support your local musicians. But the other side of that equation is equally important, and that is for the artist to give the audience what they want, and you're not going to have to beg them to come out. They're going to want to come out and see you.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it. You know, you just can't sit there and esoterically say, well, I am going to play this in B-flat minor with an E7th cemented, augmented, demented chord.
Don't forget the Kershaw listing.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get down, and you got to get on their monkey nerve. To get them going. Otherwise, you know, they're just going to sit there and say, okay, this guy's just like, yeah, well, let's go check out what's at the club tonight, you know, the other club. And then all of a sudden you got an empty house.
Yeah,
and
really.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying this weekend with Trent and Jimmy. We laid it down, and boy, did we lay it down thick.
Fantastic.
Unreal.
Wish
unreal
I could have got up there to see it. you're coming down south of there anytime in the near future?
I don't have any particular plans to do that. I do have some friends down there. Josh Rowan of the Pitbull of Blues Band, he's been tearing it up around the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area for quite a while now, and that's somebody actually you should probably get a hold of. Contact me later, Dave. I'll give you his contact info, but he's been tearing it up down there, and I should get a hold of him and say, hey, Josh, can you hook me up with something?
There you go. And if you want
to make a little trip down there.
And if you ever want to send any contact info, you have my email. Feel free. It comes directly to me. I am not big enough to have a staff of hundreds of people sorting my email for me.
No,
so,
I thought you had a cast of thousands. What happened?
It only seems that way because
yeah.
It only seems that way because my little voices here are so good at what they do.
Have a cast of thousands in our minds.
Yeah. Yes, and most of the time they're all talking in our minds at the same time.
Yeah. It's one thing. I caught the tail end of the previous guest there, and one of the things, the EPK, the Electronic Press Kit, can't stress that enough. I mean, it doesn't cost. It truly pays because I have booked many, many gigs using my EPK, and yeah, sure, you pay $5-6 a month or something like that, but imagine the cost of gas just going out to see somebody, or imagine going out, you know, out of state. Forget it. You don't have that kind of money to go out and, you know, press the flesh with somebody to do that. You've got to send out something that is a lot cheaper and is effective, and that is absolutely that. The other thing, too, having videos of your performances. I mean, that's
Absolutely right, and a lot of venues and promoters won't even listen to you if you don't have one. So it's definitely something that, as you said, it's not a cost; mm-hmm. It pays. You definitely want to consider that. Frank, tell us about Tax Time Blues.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, that was all about dealing with Uncle Sam and how we all just enjoy doing our taxes and our voluntary contribution to the government funding. If you detect a slight note of sarcasm, I think
is
you
that what I detected?
That was a flat out symphony.
Frank, where can the fans and listeners get your new CD, Ride the Iron Road?
Okay, all the usual online outlets, iTunes. Chihuahua Blues is already on there as a single, and Tuesday the whole album goes live on there. CD Baby, of course. If you want physical copies, you want to get a hold of my label, which is BlueChihuahuaRecords.com, Or on my site, Frank Robert, FrancRobert.com. And there's links to buy it directly, and actually you'll be buying it directly from me. So in other words, oh, we don't have a shipping department. No, I just take it to the post office myself the next morning.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not a problem. And if you don't like PayPal, well, we can figure out something there too. So,
and I
Whatever works.
I always stress, first place to go is go directly to the artist. Cut out the middleman and show some respect for the artist. Buy it directly from the artist if you can. So
yeah.
We definitely encourage that. Frank, I want to thank you so much for coming and spending time with us today and sharing your great new album, Ride the Iron Road, with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. It's always a blast talking to you, man.
It's always a blast having you on. We'll look forward to doing it again real soon.
Sounds like a plan.
Great. Thank you, Frank. This is Frank Robert and the Tax Time Blues.
Gotta file a 1040 now. Where's my W-2 1099? Gotta file a 1040. Where's my W-2 1099? If I don't hurry now, Uncle Sam will give me a 5. Rich man got it made now, never pay no tax. Poor man ain't got nothing now, and his job just got axed down. Uncle Sam keeps calling, must be old taxing time. What am I gonna do now? I don't even have a lousy dime. Keeps calling, they want to take more of it away now. Uncle Sam keeps calling, Lord, it must be taxing time. Yeah, what am I gonna do now? I don't even have a lousy dime. Taxman takes so much, Lord, I ain't even got a dollar to spend. Taxman takes so much now. Sam, Lord, I tell you, he ain't your friend.
Yes, indeed. Pickett, Pickett, Pickett. That is Frank Robert from his album Ride the Iron Road, and the name of that song was Tax Time Blues. Frank, we so enjoyed speaking to you this afternoon, and I shall now turn it back over to the man of the hour, the man extraordinaire, the man with the hair, David Bowers.
Well, thank you so much, little voice. John Bon Jovial there, folks. Give him a big hand. He can use all the help he can get.
Yay! Yay for me! Yay!
Hey, from the entire staff and management of the David Bowers Awards. And wait a minute.
Hooray for the rabbit.
Hang on just a second. I'm seeing we have another phone call here. Let's see. Who do we have on the line here today?
Well, what's up, David Bowers? This is the Endmen calling
you
from Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, my gosh. This is my friends from New York, from the Big Apple, Matthew and Liv of the Endmen. How are you?
We're good. Enjoying the weather, finally.
Yeah, you're finally getting some decent weather up there. We were talking about that earlier. You've had a horrible winter.
Yeah, it's been a long one.
Yeah, I bet you're glad to see anything over 40 degrees.
Absolutely. Well, they keep threatening it's going to turn around and get cold in the next couple of days, but hopefully that stays off.
Yeah, well, hopefully cold means, you know, under 50 for a change or something. So
that'd be nice.
What do we owe the pleasure of you folks joining us here today?
Well, we've been tuning into your special show here, announcing new bands or new albums coming out from all these great bands, and we thought, well, hell, we got a new album coming out, so we should just call in and bomb your show and say what's up and make that announcement as well.
So you decided that you wanted to employ the Shameless Commerce Division of the David Bowers Awards. Is that it?
Absolutely. We figure if everybody's talking about new records, we want to be talking about new records as well.
Well, absolutely. And for my listeners, I got to meet these wonderful people, the Endmen from New York City. I got to meet them at that same event 4 or 5 years ago that I was talking about with Dallas of Nineball, the Utica Music and Arts Show. And you guys have played up there now, what, for 2-3 years, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been there. We've done the Utica Music Fest for the past 3 years. We regularly go back up to Utica and hang out with all our friends up there and play shows. And, in fact, I just got word a few days ago that we were selected. We will be coming back to the Utica Music Festival later this year in September to play all over again.
Fantastic. Maybe we'll be able to put together a show from there and get all of you guys together, be able to get I'm losing my voice here. Get you guys and Nineball and Joe Sweet and Dallas and maybe get Z Donaldson involved, and we get the whole crew together. That'll be one heck of a show.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Awesome.
So tell us about this new CD. We've only had 3 brand new CD releases on here today, so we'll set a new record. 4th one coming up. What do you got?
So on April 30th, we're happy to announce we'll be releasing our 3rd album, Odds and Ends. It's going to come out again via our own well-rounded Hoodlum record label. We're going to put it out in all the usual channels, so you'll be able to find it on iTunes and Spotify and all that. But, we've been listening to your show, and in accordance of, buying direct from the artist, we are going to make it available via our Bandcamp page at theendmen.bandcamp.com. So it'll be available for digital download there. And then if you want to meet up with us anywhere while we're out on the road, we'll have the album with us, and you can buy it right from us in person.
Fantastic. I wish I could get up there and see you guys in person. Well, at least see Liv. She's the cute one. You're just always there. I want to thank you guys for stopping in and sharing your new music with us. And we are running down on time, so I want to be sure and get this in. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Liv. Can't wait to see you guys again. And my personal thanks for sharing this new CD with it. We got to get you back on the show and do a complete show with you guys.
Yeah, we'd love to come back on anytime, man. You just let us know. Maybe we can call you from Europe.
Hey, there we go. We could do a show when are you going to Italy again?
Well, we hit out, so the album does come out on April 30th, and that is also the kickoff for the tour. So we're going to do some running around here in the United States, and then on Cinco de Mayo, we will fly to Italy, and from Italy, we move north in through Switzerland, Germany, the Netherlands, and Belgium. So we'll be touring around that portion of Europe and spreading the songs around.
Awesome. That sounds great. Get in touch with me. You got my email and phone number. Get in touch, and we'll set something up.
We absolutely will.
Great. Thank you again, Matthew and Liv. Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, The Endmen, and this is from their brand new CD coming out April 30th. This is called Salute.
Che bevo sempre whisky la mattina, Sono due giorni che non dormo e sa che sto impazzendo. Sono arrivato a Nuova York da una settimana, ma è tutto un altro mondo giù in metropolitana.
It's blown down, living in a coal mine. But the hour's growing thin now, strangers everywhere. The barkeep Alibaba, he knows how to make it right. He can knock you off a cold one, something with a bite.
Facciamo un altro giro, ha cominciato a nevicare. Facciamoci del bene, facciamoci del male. Sono agitato per mia figlia, quella sogna, sogna.
For Stick It In Your Ear Productions from the studios of Computer Help USA in Naples, Florida, and is available for free download on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Be sure to click the follow link on our Blog Talk Radio page and get reminders of our upcoming shows. And like the David Bowers on Facebook, and please follow us on Twitter. Be sure to join us for the David Bowers Awards Sunday, May 11th, for our pre-Memorial Day Veterans Salute, and that will be at 2 p.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. Pacific with guest blues rocker. I'm reading the wrong line here. Our guest will be Paul DeLacerda of the Warren Spirit Band and country artist Maggie Thorne and her hit single My Soldier. Plus, we've got Patrick Ziegert And he is the training and outreach coordinator for the Arizona Coalition for Military Families. And, of course, we'll have Rockstar 101 and other surprises as well. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. With the help today from Jungle Studios Productions and also the Groove Benders, which is Nick's band. And if you want to find out more about the Groove Benders or Jungle Studios, be sure to give Nick a call at 239-595-1364. For all of us here at the Asylum in beautiful, gorgeous, and absolutely stellarly wonderful downtown Naples, Florida, I am John Bon Jovial for the David Bowers Awards. Please be sure to join us next month. Thank you, and stay safe, everybody.